Blog Talk Radio.
Applewhite and the staff of White Apple Institute, and we are calling you to let you know, we're calling out to all of you listeners to let you know that we do care. We care from the very heart of White Apple Institute, and that's why White Apple Institute sponsors this show. And you can check us out at whiteappleinstitute.org. And we have Tom on the air this morning, our vice president, and he is going to read the description of the show. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning. I recognize the number this morning. Just want to let you know that we're talking today about repairing our illness mentality, or fixing it, you know, just putting some things together, strategies, and this is part one of a series of repairing our illness mentality that's taken from my book, actually, and we'll be going through part one through five on this one, and it's going to be some great information. I think that people will really love to hear this. We have a lot of listeners that listen to our archives. Did you know that?
Yes, I knew that. We have a whole lot. Over 5,000, I believe.
Right. And what happens is that for each show, they give us a breakdown. And sometimes there's over 300 people on the line at one time listening to us. And we thank you very much for supporting our show. And so stay there. Stay there with us. So tell us what repairing our illness mentality is all about.
Okay, well, this is the description of our show. Professor Applewhite and the loyal volunteer staff of White Apple Institute share the meaning of illness and suffering with listeners. It is so encouraging to hear from so many who have overcome situations by keeping their jobs, managing workforce training, performance, and taking care of their home life and spirituality to the best of their ability. Call in on Saturday morning, 10 to 11 a.m. AZ time, to 1-646-727-3758. Repeat, 1-646-727-3758, and share a story or just listen. If you miss an episode, you can always listen to an archive show via http://blogtalkradio.com/student-to-teacher or visit our website at http://www.WhiteAppleInstitute, that's one word, .org. Much love and peace.
Thank you so much, Tom. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Thank you. And so we're asking that sooner or later, you are going to be in touch with acknowledging that there's something going on with your brain. Now, you say, what are you talking about, Professor Applewhite? Something wrong with my brain? Well, actually, you recognized it when you were a very young child. You recognized a headache. Now, don't jump to conclusions now. I didn't say a headache means you have mental illness, okay? All right? I didn't mean that, Tom, okay?
Okay.
What I mean to our listeners out there is that we recognize when something is going on wrong with our brain, or our, which controls our mind. With brain and mind are two separate entities, and I'll explain a little bit of that later on in our future discussions. But for right now, I want you to understand that when something goes wrong, or it feels uncomfortable, that's a better word for me to use, Tom, is uncomfortable. And listeners out there, I think you'd like that better, is to use the word uncomfortable. That it makes our whole body uncomfortable, because you see, everything that comes into us that we recognize, like headaches, begins with something either on the outside or in our environment that's causing pressure, anxiety, or something within us that could be the flu or something else that could be related to that. A lot of people have migraine headaches, and that's another point, too, that we need to cover is migraine headaches and how I have really, really seen some very constructive things happen for students and teachers and other people that have worked with migraine headaches for years and been able to manage it. And that's what the show is about this morning. It's about managing and overcoming the situations so that we can keep our jobs. And our jobs could mean volunteer, okay, positions too. So that we can keep on doing the daily things that we do. So that somehow we manage ourselves, and if we're in work, if we're in the workforce, or we're in training at a job, you know, those are times you definitely don't want to mess up, because when they call you in for training where you're going to learn something, you've got to be there, and you've got to have your headache or whatever's going on with you covered, because they're, you know, corporations of America now, especially with the recession the way it is, you know, it's got everybody anxious. Everybody anxious about losing their job and not doing the right thing, according to corporate America. So as we see more the numbers increase for the unemployed, we can also see the numbers decrease for the employed. And so that alone can cause a lot of anxiety, a lot of headaches. So we need to look carefully at ourselves and examine ourselves and make sure that we're doing the right thing to take care of ourselves and take care of our home lives. Now, this is a hard one, taking care of our home lives. It's not easy to come home, especially if you are responsible for children, if you're raising children on your own, and you're coming home from one or maybe two jobs. Yes, Professor Applewhite understands if you're coming home from two jobs or a job and going to school and you have children, that's really hard. And any of you teachers listening out there, you have students in your college classrooms or your training classrooms who are dealing with these issues. And also taking care of our spirituality. Now, that's the hardest over all of it. You know, we understand we've got to manage and keep our jobs and manage any workforce training and our performance evaluations that come on. We've got that. And we know somehow we've got to manage taking care of our home life. We got kids. They really will make sure that we manage our home life no matter how many times we scream and say we have a headache and we don't feel well. The kids will still make the kind of noises and literally begging noises to feed them and to take care of them. You know, but the spirituality is very hard to follow through with. But whatever you call God, whatever religion you follow, it's hard to do that when you're dealing with all of these issues. I know people that say to me many times, well, I haven't been to my church lately. You know, now, I don't necessarily relate spirituality with church because I think spirituality is an individual situation. But still, what they're saying to me is very important because they're saying, and I don't know if you agree with me, Tom, they're saying that when you're doing this, trying to get, you know, keep your spiritual life together, that it's good when they can pray or they can just meditate and be silent with themselves, but they find it hard to find those times. And if that's hard to do, then that's hard to manage all the rest of the stuff in your life. What do you think about that?
I definitely agree with you. When I'm busy and I've got things to do and I'm really just busy doing all sorts of things, I find that, you know, sometimes just thinking to say a prayer is the last thing on my mind. Like when you come home from work and you got to buy the groceries and you got to go see the kid, just even taking time for a short little 10-second prayer never even occurs to you. But the spirituality is part of my life, whether you worship, whether it's Buddha or God or whatever your idea or concept of
certainly
higher
Jesus
power
Christ,
is. Certainly Jesus Christ, yes. You know, we need to take time to do that more than ever because we're under so much stress. If we don't get a release from it, a lot of bad things happen. The percentage of mentally ill people in America is just really increasing, and part of it is we're just so busy making money doing different stuff that we don't take time for our spiritual life or just to sit down and relax and play a game with the kids anymore.
Right, exactly. Wow, you hit on a lot of nerves there, and I know the listeners are like, yeah, you're right. I don't do that very often. We have another caller online here, and we'd like to acknowledge her. Okay. Your online caller, if you'd like to say your name and introduce yourself, I'm Professor Applewhite. If not, you can remain silent. And I will open up the chat line so that you can, if you're familiar with using the computer, you can also chat with me or email me directly at DanitaApplewhite@WhiteAppleInstitute.org. Sometimes I forget to give my email address. So good morning to you.
and we'll continue with the show. And you let us know if you'd like to say something in regards to what we're talking about this morning. Okay? All right. So this, we understand that, you know, for us here at White Apple Institute, we believe that spirituality is the number one thing that we need to address. And I think it's the most important thing we need to address when we're dealing with all of these issues that are going on in our life, especially with the threat. And let's not forget, you know, for those of you, I'm a veteran myself, and I know that it's hard for many parents, single or whatever, for many families to deal with their husband or wife being away, especially in Afghanistan or Iraq or any of the places right now where there's a lot of terrorist activity. And now with this, all this recent stuff with, oh gosh, I might as well just say it, Tom, this recent stuff with all these tea parties, I don't understand all of it, but I don't even want to understand all of it. I thought a Republican was a Republican and a Democrat was a Democrat, you know what I mean? And if you're not neither one, then you're liberal, right?
Right.
Okay, now Professor Applewhite's made her political statement for the day. Okay, but you know, it's just interesting that we get so wrapped up in what Tom was saying a moment ago, making money, that we forget the most important things in life. And whether you perceive yourself as disabled, and I know you hear me saying that a lot, listeners, perceiving ourselves as disabled. You see, we can look in the mirror at ourselves, and we can see ourselves, and we know who we are. When we look at our bodies, we see something different. Most of us, unless we have a facial, they call it deformity, but I'd like to say a facial makeover, okay? And but bottom line is our bodies have been made over, many of us that are in wheelchairs. And also, there are people who are mentally ill who can't see what's going on with our brains and why we're having headaches and stress attacks, panic attacks. You know, what's going on with us that makes us feel so uncomfortable, and we have a job, and we're doing good on the job, but still we feel uncomfortable because we hear all the things that are going on in our environment. So environment plays a very, very big part in how we overcome our perception of disability. So what I'd like to help you with this morning, before I get into how we repair our illness mentality, is what is illness? You know, I can read you the dictionary definition, but from your own perspective, I want you to think of what is illness. Does illness? Go ahead, Tom.
I think illness is when your brain is malfunctioning either from a physical or psychological cause.
Right.
You know, either you have. Well, like the flu would be the physical causes, or a cold or whatever, and your brain's malfunctioning because of that. Or you're real anxious because the boss told you got to get something done tomorrow, and you know there's no way you can get it done tomorrow. Or the kids are all sick with the flu, and you know your boss wants you 5 days this week, but you got to stay home with six kids or whatever, and you're balancing job and family and things like that, and it causes you psychological distress. I know that's a very broad definition, but that's how I would define it.
And the dictionary does a good job of that, too. But the point is that I want to know what you call illness. What do you call illness? When are you ill? Are you just ill because you're in a wheelchair? Are you just ill because you walk with a cane? Or are you ill when you have the flu? Or all of the above?
I think the answer is all of the above for myself.
That's right. Exactly. And that's what a lot of us don't understand, is that illness, the mentality of illness, begins with the small things. And then it depends on how we receive the attention and the nurturing from that, that creates a mentality about the way we look at illness. And there have been many, many studies done on mental illness and how it begins and that kind of thing. I'm not talking about mental illness, just mental illness. I'm talking about physical and mental illness. I'm talking about how the environment can play a big part on that, and also how we perceive ourselves disadvantaged. Okay, and that doesn't just mean financially. We're just disadvantaged because we believe we have learning issues, where we have dyslexia or some kind of academic issue that slows down our performance at school. And it has done that from K through 12, from kindergarten through 12, and makes us hesitant to walk through the doors of the college registration area and say, I want to take a class. Many people have a very warped idea about the fact that I don't want to go to college because I don't want to take all those classes that I don't need. Well, let me put in a plug for the community colleges here. You don't have to take all of the classes that are required for a degree to go to community college. You can actually go and just get a certificate in your particular area. Many, many of the areas, the academic area have different sections. And so if you want to be an emergency medical technician, say, for instance, for an example, you would take only those courses that apply to being an emergency medical technician, okay? You can also go and get a clerical certificate. So don't let that be one of the excuses that are used, because I'm sharing with you right now that you can go to college and go to college with just those focused courses that you need and leave with a certificate in your hand. So keep that in mind. Well, anyway, going back to this mentality that we develop as we're growing older and why we begin to develop this illness mentality because of the nurturing that we receive. Do we receive a lot of attention when we're younger? Or could it be that that's the only time that we receive attention? It could be that also. If the only time we receive attention is when we're sick, then illness becomes part of our character so that we can develop better relationships with either our caregivers, and that could be our parents, grandparents, or anyone who's responsible for our care. Or if you're already getting a lot of attention when you're ill, then you start developing this illness mentality where now, whatever age you're at, now, of course, we're not talking about a six-month-old baby. We're talking about when we come to that recognition stage that, oh, wow, my nose is running, and look how many people are running over to me to wipe my nose with a napkin or a tissue or whatever. So these things stick in a child's mind, and as we go through the developmental stages, we find that there is a continual the continual actions like that keep going on and on and on. And we are really, really overwhelmed with how much attention we can get by just saying, I broke a finger, literally, we break a finger and then we say it. And the mother or the father, in most cases, it's usually the mother, that begins to start treating the child as if they're a piece of special glass or something that can't be broken, that could be broken at any given moment. And so your illness mentality begins, and you may now be about 13, 14, 15 years old. And what's happening now is that you develop this illness mentality and you want attention when you're not well. And not to in any way imply that men are wusses, because that is not what I'm implying at all, because that's how sometimes things can be misunderstood. But everyone makes a joke that when men are sick, you know, it becomes a real issue because their mothers took such good care of them or enabled them when they were ill and didn't let them do anything. And so this is an opportune time for a man or a woman to say, I'm ill and I can't go to work. I'm ill and I can't take care of the house. I'm ill and I can't do anything, so leave me alone. And believe it or not, when this illness mentality is set, just like a thermostat, and it starts to go over a certain level, then what happens, listeners, is that we begin to start feeling triggers. And especially as we grow older, as adults now, we're thinking somebody's supposed to be there to wipe my nose and somebody's supposed to be there to pat my hand or hug me. And mom or dad or caregivers are not there anymore. And I don't want to look like a wuss, but I have this mentality in me that I'm begging for some type of attention to my illness. Now, is there anything wrong with that?
It depends on the degree to which you demand attention.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, if you're real sick, like people tend to hit extremes. If they're real sick, they may have a 104-degree temperature and still want to go to
mm-hmm.
work, some people. And then other
right.
people are just, they feel a few little sniffles from allergies that aren't really that bad. I have legitimate mm-hmm. allergies, and sometimes since I've grown up, I've missed work from. But it's all a matter of degrees, you know.
Yes, it is.
And how it interferes with your life. One extreme isn't good, but neither is the other, and people tend to hit one of the two extremes.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Tom, because that degree issue that you just mentioned goes right back to that thermostat, because it's a degree. It's when it hits that trigger point. You know, you have you set your thermostat for a certain level. And then when it goes over that level, then the heat or the AC kicks on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly
okay.
what you mean.
And so that's what happens with this illness mentality, is that something goes on with a person who has, like you said, even allergies or 104 fever, and they go to work. Now, there's a mentality with that also. Because now if I go to work and I've got 104 temperature and I'm really just going to work to go to work, then why would people walk in and the first thing they say to someone is, I have 104 temperature, or I don't feel well? And they say this to everyone they meet just about at the job. Now you're hitting on a real sensitive area here. Because why would they tell people, probably people that they hardly ever talk to, or they engage them in conversations about, how do you feel today? I mean, how do you really feel today? And they're in the coffee room. And the reason why they're doing that is because they're eager to share what's going on with them. You ever met people like that?
Oh, yeah.
They share their concerns, so-called concerns for you, because they want a break. They want a moment to tell you how they really feel. And it can get into a very lengthy conversation when we talk about the factor that people want to share what's going on. See, again, we're getting into this, I need this attention. Okay, it's different when you're telling your boss. Now, don't get me wrong, it's different when you're telling your boss or your instructor, you know, what's going on with you. and I hate to say boss, I mean your employer, okay, your supervisor. But we do. We have to, because usually when our performance levels are not up to par. But after that, why do we do that? Why do we have to tell everyone that we meet on that particular day? And don't do it again the second day. The second day, you're at 103, and then 102, you know, and then you're still talking about what's going on with you. Go ahead.
The big key is it's attention seeking. And we all need a certain amount of attention. Attention, if you don't get it one place, you try to get it another.
Mm-hmm.
We all are malfunction. You know, we're, I think it was said once that 94% of families are somewhat dysfunctional and the other 6% are liars. I mean, we all dysfunction.
That's a good one. Thanks for that statistic. Well, you know, we have a joke in the field of psychology where we say, you know, everybody is either diagnosed or undiagnosed. So there's no one that doesn't have some form of mental illness. But we are afraid to say mental illness. We're afraid to think of it because somehow we've been spoofed into believing that, admitting to that. And Hollywood has had a lot to do with this, the movies and that kind of thing, about how important it is to ignore mental signs of mental illness. You know, you're ill when you are physically and obviously ill. Outside of that, there can't be an illness because I don't see it. And if I don't see the neurons in your brain breaking apart, and you're not going to see it because our bodies are not made of glass. And so when we tell someone that we have severe migraine headaches and we tell someone that we're feeling anxious and I start shaking or I have panic disorder or I have depression, now we get into some real sensitive areas. Well, that's not what we want to talk about. We'd rather go back to the 104 temperature than to talk about how we really feel about depression. Now, we've come a long way now, and thanks to commercials from the pharmaceutical companies that definitely benefit from the sale of drugs that will help you with those headaches and those feelings of distress, they have done a great job on presenting positive images. Okay, even down to selling Viagra for men, it's been a very positive image, and that's been a real big issue with men, is the use of some kind of outside source to manage an erection or their sexual performance. And so they've never wanted to talk about this openly, and now all of a sudden it's nothing to talk about because it's all over the television. It's nothing to talk about a cold anymore because it's all over the television. So the television, the media, has brought a lot of things to us that make our illness mentality easier to deal with. But we still have a long way to go before we can truly look in the mirror of our soul and really understand, what does it mean to be ill? Am I ill? And if I am ill, how do I really deal with it? How do I manage that? So let's talk about that for a moment, if you don't mind, listeners. I want you to travel down a road with me to someone who started off very early in life with many problems in school, in the high school arena. Prior to that, they had really very little problems with behavior, but something happened about in high school. And you see, we are very careful to diagnose people with what we call adult psychiatric illnesses. We separate them. It's very rare that you hear a child being diagnosed with schizophrenia, say. But here you've got this individual that's definitely lost on how to explain to her family how what she sees and how she feels, because it's slowly coming on her, this feeling of uneasiness. So she goes to work every day, and she feels it happening more and more and more, and starts hallucinating. Can we help that individual? We know that that's, she knows that it's a mental, something's going on with her mentally, because there's no bumps breaking out on her. There's no, nothing running from her nose. She doesn't have a runny nose. She doesn't have a cough. But she feels worse than the worst flu. How can we help somebody? And we'll just stay with schizophrenia for a minute.
There's medication to help with that.
We need you to speak a little bit more into the microphone.
Okay, there's medication to help with that because it is an actual physical illness. Schizophrenia is a physical part of your physical body. There's also places where if you have trouble holding down the job,
would you mind repeating that, Tom? We didn't get that. We didn't pick that up on the radar there.
Yeah, I said there's physical illness and there's also mental illness. And if you have mental illness, your brain is malfunctioning, and it's an actual physical part of your body. And people can go to special workshops for people that are mentally ill, or they can take jobs part-time till they can work again, and some of them go to, many, many people with so-called mental illnesses go to school and college and don't have any episodes or just one episode. So there is help for them nowadays, a lot of help. Well, one area they could look into is there's a place called Triple R, which is in Mesa, but they have them all over. And what they do is they help people get back into the work field after they've had a mental illness. Or people that do have a mental illness stay working. There's your psychiatrist. If you think you may have a mental illness and you don't want to see a psychiatrist, a family doctor, if you're feeling depressed all the time, may be able to recommend something for you. There's lots of help for people nowadays. It's just we have these stereotypes of people that used to be locked in hospitals for years and years. And now with the new medications, that's very becoming more and more a thing of the past. Right. And it's estimated that more than 10% of the adult population suffers from depression, too. Clinical depression, I'm talking about. You know, more than just a case of the blues, too. A little over 10% suffer from clinical depression, which isn't just a case of the blues. Your dog died, so you feel bad for 6 weeks or 3 months or whatever. I mean, it's real depression that's always there. They use a fancy word for that type of depression called endogenous, which means that there's no apparent reason for it, but there is a chemical malfunction in the brain causing the depression.
We know that it's going to be over soon. But take a look at yourself for a minute when you're in those types of situations. And I want you to think of it being a long term. A very long term. Okay, you know you're feeling this way for 3 or 4 days or even 3 or 4 weeks because you're feeling this way. Especially when you're talking about menopause. But when you think about going through an illness for many, many years,
then it's a whole different story. When you go through illness for years, you get to where you feel like, I know I have illness, mental illness myself. You get to feel like there's no end in sight. You get feeling helpless. You can forget what it's like to feel undepressed if you're depressed enough for a long enough period of time.
You make a really good point, Tom. And one of the things that can you hear? Okay. One of the things that that I'm concerned about is that people are not aware that when they are involved in any kind of illness situation, that it could very easily turn into a long-term situation. This has happened over and over and over again, where they go in for one thing and all of a sudden they're into something else. And the doctor finds something. And then they become, the reality hits that, gosh, I'm really ill. Well, they were really ill in the first place. But now they're ill for a long term. This is something that may cause maybe a surgical issue, a rehabilitation issue, and then getting back to work, losing your job, or hoping your job will hold your position. I mean, these are things that we very rarely think about. But imagine yourself in that situation, and then you can imagine what someone feels like that's labeled as disabled. And so when we look at those factors, it's really, really hard to imagine that someone can't show empathy. Number one, recognize the illness mentality and show empathy and compassion for themselves and receive empathy from others. Not overwhelming empathy, not overwhelming nurturing, but concern. And maybe then we can come to some realization about illness, about how people perceive us when we are ill. Especially as it gets to be a longer and longer term of illness. You know, you start off and it's only, you know, a few months you're looking at for some treatment or whatever, and then all of a sudden something else comes up. And so after a while, friends, true friends, only hang in there, okay? Some of you can relate to that. True friends really hang in there. People that really nurture you, they hang in there, and then others will kind of shift away from you. And you develop a mentality about that says, well, I don't care. You know, now I know who my friends are. And you get into a whole, you develop another character almost, because you're different than where you were the first day you looked in the mirror of your soul and found out there's something going on with me and I need to get checked, okay? This bump that I have on my breast, this feeling that I have in my head, okay, the way my knee hurts when I walk. All of these things are things that take long-term issues. Now, what do we do about them? How do we truly deal with trying to maintain, here we go back to that healthy and happy lifestyle. And, wow, here we go, Tom, spirituality.
Right.
Okay, spirituality. How do we get back to that? Because now fear begins to enter. And when fear enters, that illness mentality takes off. And it creates a barrier to most people to even talk about it to others, or maybe talk about it too much, where your total conversation becomes involved in this illness mentality. You develop, there's different types of mentality that we can develop. We can develop a mentality of, I'm going to adjust to this for the time being, and I'm not going to let this overcome me. There's a mentality of just being happy and reaching for a book or an association with someone that has as part of your belief system, okay, your church or books that you can read. And there's a mentality of just sitting on the couch and or laying in bed all day long because of the illness. And that's what we want to discuss, is how to repair our illness mentality so that we can stop the sitting on the couch, the giving up attitude, okay? Because when we talk about illness mentality, we're talking about an attitude that we develop against other people. And one thing I don't want to forget to bring up, listeners out there, is that we start believing that our problems are much worse than anyone else's. And so therefore, and this is usually at the very beginning, sometimes it continues in our relationships with our family and friends, but we start believing that we are the ones who are ill. And so when someone else comes to us with now the temporary illnesses, you know, oh, I feel bad today because, you know, I have my period, or I have feel bad today because I broke a tooth, I went to go see the dentist, and I don't feel like going to work. And you look at them, because here you are laying here, laying in a bed or on a wheelchair, or walking on a cane or whatever you're doing, or just feeling bad every day because of a mental illness. And you're looking at them like, if you only knew what I'm feeling. And you might just pour it all on them for the 15th or 16th time. You might just tell them everything that's wrong with you and not even listen to what's happening to them. Or you might totally ignore what they're saying. So this illness mentality is very serious, because what it does is it digs a deeper hole. And I remember this story once about a man who was his donkey had fallen deep into a hole. I guess the hole used to be a well or something like that, and it wasn't covered up. And so he falls into this enormous hole, and he's down at the bottom, and he's still alive. And it doesn't look like, from what the farmer can see, that his legs are broken or anything. So he tries to get the donkey out or with all kinds of equipment. He calls his neighbors over to help, to rope around this animal and try to pull them out of the hole. Well, nothing is working. And so it's decided that somehow or another they have to ease the tension of what's happening to this donkey. And so they start putting dirt in, soil, I'd like to call it soil, into the hole. They start pouring it in because the donkey seems to be scraping the sides and making the soil fall underneath him. And they're wondering, what is he doing this with? So they start helping him do it. And do you know, before you knew it, that donkey was able to actually get out of that hole because it kept working and working and working to make the soil boost him higher out of that enormous hole that he had fallen into. And it was great that other people were there to put in a little bit more soil so the job became easier. But I guess in closing today, and we have 5 minutes left on our show, we have about 9 minutes left on our show, I wanted to share with you that that's part of how we can adapt or adjust, I'll say adjust on this one, to whatever mentality we have. The mentality the donkey could have taken was, okay, it's over for me, I can't do anything, I'm just going to lay here and I'm going to die. And the farmer could have taken on that mentality also and just taken a rifle and just shot the donkey so, you know, to make things easier. But most of us want to get well. We don't like being ill, especially when suffering is involved. You know, you can be ill and then you don't feel any suffering. Or you can be labeled as disabled and still not feel any pain, just discomfort, just the lack of being able to get around and do the things you want to do. But let me assure you that you can do the same thing that donkey did. I know it's a simple example, but you keep fighting. Don't give up. You keep fighting to build yourself up and build your performance up. You find ways. You start reading. You call us if you need to at White Apple Institute. And that number is 480-471-8082. 480-471-8082. Or email me at Danita Applewhite. And this is a long one, at whiteappleinstitute.org. So let me assure you that if we continue to keep our heads high and keep pushing and not fall into some of the pitfalls that we've talked about this morning that create an illness mentality that goes on and on and on. Let me also invite you next week. We have as the series continues, for my book coming out, it should be coming out in December of next year, and it is called Rehabilitation of Our Illness Mentality. But like I said, we're going to go through this, and we really thank Nazim Rashid, who was our previous weekly co-host, who hopefully will be on our show again to discuss some of this illness mentality, because this show, Reconnected, that comes on right after ours from 11 to 12, is very, very interesting because it brings out the happy news of life. And so I'm sure that he will be pleased to know that there are people out there that have tremendous stories about how they've overcome their illness mentality. And we'd like to share your story. You don't have to use your name if you don't want to. But we'd like to hear from you. And we'd like to share it with other people. And you have no idea of the amazing effects of someone reading about your story. Anything else, Tom, that you'd like to bring out, or any of our other callers here?
Well, one thing is, like,
people who have a common, did you say people who have a common? I'm sorry, would you say that again? A common, there's some noise in the background, one of our listeners. Right. So you change your associations, in a sense. Is that what you're saying? You change your associations?
With other people who all have the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know when I played wheelchair basketball, that was the best you could always
do. Kid, I was hoping you were home. Well, we really have a man down there. Hey, Tom, that moved in.
Oh,
down
yes,
there.
Yes, Tom Baker. Yeah,
Tom
okay.
Baker.
All right. One moment,
He gave me his number
to
call in, and I called it in this morning. Last week, I completely forgot I've got a piano student at 9:30.
Who's ever speaking in the background, we're having some background flare back. So if you could mute your phone for this last few minutes, we'd really appreciate that so that we don't hear the background. Thank you so much. Let me go ahead and finish the show here this morning, and we thank you so much for calling in, all of our listeners on the switchboard that have called in to listen, and that you've muted your phone so that we don't hear that background noise. One of the things I'd like to say in closing is that be true to yourself. When you're getting ready to do something, think about how you would feel if somebody did the same thing to you. Now, we hear this a lot as we're growing up, if we have that kind of environment, is that do unto others as you wish them to do unto you. And that can be said so many different ways. But that's what we hope, is that if you're thinking in the same way we are about illness mentality, then hopefully when you run across someone that either wants to talk about theirs and you're not really interested and you show that by your body language, be kind enough to say, listen, I've got to go. Instead of letting them go on and on and on, because many people will. But at least when you do that, show the compassion that they need. We wish you much love and peace as we close and look forward to hearing from you next week as we come back with the Student to Teacher Show. Remember that we are all students and we are all teachers at one time in our life, okay? We thank Nazim Rashid for that great music in his album, River Nile, the Renaissance album that's available on Amazon. Thank all of our sponsors, White Apple Institute, and also thank all of our listeners so much for making this show successful around the world. Would you like to state your name? Okay, well, we thank you for calling in and listening to our show this morning on repairing our illness mentality, and we look forward to hearing from you next week. So tune in next week, anytime before 10 to 11 Arizona time. Thank you so much. Much love and peace again.